My name is Elif Shafak. I'm an author, I'm a storyteller. I write in both Turkish and English, and I do commute between cities, cultures, and languages. My most recent novel is called 10 Minutes, 38 Seconds in a Strange World. I became very interested in these series of scientific studies that show after the moment of death, after the heart has stopped beating, the human brain continues to function, to work for another few minutes. Particularly in Canada, in an intensive care unit, doctors have observed persistent brain activity in patients that had just passed away. So to me as an author, that was intriguing, fascinating, and I kept thinking, what happens in the human brain in that limited amount of time? If we remember, what do we remember? Of a whole life, what remains? The bad things or the good things? And my character, at the very beginning of the novel, we know, actually the first two words in this novel are the end. That's how the story begins. So right away we know that the main character in this book, and her name is Leyla, she's dead. She's a sex worker in Istanbul. She's been brutally killed and her body has been dumped in a garbage bin. And as I was writing that part, I also remembered a real event that took place in Istanbul. A few years ago, a transgender sex worker was killed in this way, and her body had been dumped in a garbage bin, like the final insult. So I remembered her story as I was writing my fictional character's story. And right away, we know that Leyla is dead, her heart has stopped beating, but her brain is still working. Those are the first pages of the story, and as she remembers minute by minute by minute her past during those 10 minutes 38 seconds, we travel as readers, we travel into her story, but also into the story of a country and the Middle East, but always told through the eyes of outcasts. So my novel perhaps deals with heavy subjects or difficult subjects, but I sincerely believe this is a life-affirming book, and it is a novel that celebrates diversity, inclusion, and I think it celebrates friendships. There's a chapter in the book where it says we all have two types of families in this life. We have our blood families, we're born into those blood families, and if your blood family is a loving, caring, kind type of blood family, then you're very lucky and you should definitely enjoy that and appreciate that. But not everyone is as lucky. And in a way, particularly to those people, the book is saying, do not forget that you're going to have another family as you keep living, and that's going to be your water family. And the water family is composed of your friends. And the number of those friends can't be dozens and dozens and dozens. It's five or six. There are five main friends in this novel. But these are the people who will hold you tight and pull you up when you fall down. And there's also a part of me that believes, particularly in those societies where we see a decline of democracy or where the public space might be intolerant towards diversity or differences, particularly in such environments, I think friendships become even more important and solidarity between outcasts can even be more stronger and deeper. And those are the bonds that give us hope and inspiration. And I wanted to celebrate those kinds of friendships and the water families that we create in life. One of the ideas that played an important role as I was writing this novel was related to a place, an actual place that exists in Istanbul. This is a cemetery, it's a graveyard. And unlike any other graveyard, there are no names in this particular place, no surnames, mostly just numbers. It is on the outskirts of Istanbul and it's called the Cemetery of the Companions. And the people who are buried there are usually people who have been shunned, rejected by their families. I became curious about this place, you know, who are the people who are turned into numbers? What are their stories? Because it seemed like a place where people lost their individuality, people lost their stories and just became numbers. And perhaps I wanted to take one of those numbers and give it a name and give it an individuality and give it a story and reverse the process. As for the people who are actually buried there, many of them are as I said, because they've been rejected either by their families or their societies, they're thought to be companionless. That's where the name of the graveyard comes from. Among them are people who have died of AIDS, HIV patients throughout 1980s, 90s. There are lots of LGBTQ members. There are lots of sex workers buried there. Also abandoned babies found on the streets are buried there. And a growing number of refugees. In newspapers every day, we read about refugees who have drowned as they were trying to cross the sea into Europe. But where are all those bodies taken? Hundreds of them. They're taken to the Cemetery of Companions in Istanbul. So it's a strange place, and it's a very sad place where an Afghan refugee or a Syrian refugee might be buried next to a Turkish sex worker, might be buried next to a suicide, might be buried next to an abandoned baby. And to me, it was important to pay attention to their stories. At the end of the day, I think a storyteller's job is not only to chase or create stories, we also need to be equally interested in silences and the silenced, people whose stories have been erased, forgotten, or pushed to the margins. I think it's important for novelists to pay attention to those forgotten stories, to those untold stories. Time plays a huge role in this book, and also it was quite challenging for me as a novelist because I knew my main character had only 10 minutes 38 seconds left in this strange world. And that was difficult because as she keeps remembering how much of a whole life can you share with the readers? You know, how do you compress an entire journey into a few chapters? I knew that every minute was precious. Every chapter had to be very precise. And in that way, the story gave me the structure for the novel. And also, I paid a lot of attention to sensual details, like smells and tastes. So everything that she remembers each minute, she remembers through smells and tastes. She remembers the taste of the food she ate as a child or when she first came to Istanbul. I used those seemingly small details as the gateways to bigger chapters in her story. I don't like it when novelists try to teach something or preach. I believe we should never do that, and it's not a novelist's job to try to give answers, but I think it's our job to ask questions and possibly, if possible, to ask difficult questions about difficult issues, including taboos, political taboos, cultural taboos, sexual taboos. The novel should be an open space where we can hear a diversity of opinions, and it's a very democratic space. So for me, it's very important to raise the questions, to give more voice to the voiceless, but then always and always leave the answers to the reader, because every reader's reading is going to be very different and very unique, just like our fingerprints. Very good friends might read the same book, and it's just fascinating to see they will connect with the story in completely different ways. Husband and wife, they might read the same novel. Again, they will associate, identify themselves perhaps with, again, very different characters, or one of them might love the book, the other one might hate the book. So I respect that diversity a lot because readers are never passive, and writers are also readers. So what I know is, as a reader, we always bring our gaze into the story, and in fact, we create the story together. I have a pendulum almost. You know, when I'm writing a novel, I am inside that imaginary world and I try to stay in that world as deep as I can and as long as I can. Only when the book is over, the pendulum swings to the other opposite and then I become a more social and more normal human being. But that's very interesting to me to observe. the swing back and forth. And I'm an introvert by nature. I love staying in rooms surrounded with books. That said, I can write anywhere. Maybe it's because I've lived in very different cities over the years. I got used to that. I've always had a very nomadic life. So I can write in train stations, in cafes, in noisy places. And I don't mind the noise, actually. I prefer it. One reason for that could be because I lived in Istanbul for many, many years. I'm very used to noise. And I used to live on a street called Kazanji, which was quite very chaotic. And it was a place that was even more noisy and loud at night than during the day. And I would always keep the windows open, and there would be street vendors shouting and people swearing at each other, the traffic and singing and whistling. There's a part of me that enjoys the sounds of the city. I don't like silence actually that much. I find it very uncomfortable when there's a heavy silence around me. So when I write, I keep the windows open. I like to hear the sounds of the city, and I also put headphones on, and I listen to very loud, usually very aggressive metal music, different genres, subgenres of heavy metal I've always loved. So mostly industrial, gothic, Viking, pagan, usually Scandinavian bands that probably not many people listen. It's just I really love that kind of a bit dark, a bit gothic music, it and the energy that comes with it. And I listen to those songs on a loop, so I can listen to the same song maybe 70 times, 80 times, and that really takes me to another zone, and I like to stay in that zone when I'm writing. My novel, 10 Minutes 38 Seconds in a Strange World, is out now.